The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
This morning, we are doing something a little bit different. Speaking of serving, we have some men here who serve in a capacity that's very behind the scenes, but a lot of what goes on here happens because they do meet and they do care and they're praying and constantly seeking God's will for this church. And this morning we're going to hear from two of those men, two of our elders. We want to hear their heart and their prayer and their passion for Summerside and for the future of what we're doing here. So I'm going to invite Mark DeVries up, and he's going to speak to us first. So here's Mark.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Mark. I'm one of the elders here. When Devin asked us to do this, his instructions were pretty simple. He asked us to share what our prayer, our hope, our desire is for the church in this new season that we're entering, where we have new neighbors sprouting up everywhere where we're going to two services. So immediately, I went to my Bible and I found that passage where Jesus gives solemn instruction to his disciples on how to perform two services. That's not in yours? Oh, okay. No, it's not. So then I went to the next logical place for this, which is the book of Revelation. That one isn't the joke. I'm not saying that the end of the world is coming this fall. But in chapters 2 and 3 in Revelation, there's something interesting there. Jesus composes some letters to churches. He writes seven letters to seven churches. And they all kind of have the same structure. I'm just going to read a little bit of one. It's from Revelation 2:2 to the church in Ephesus. Jesus says, "I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first." So as we look to the fall, and maybe this is just the pessimistic, you know, part of me, but I wanted to ask the question, it's like, what do we risk adding to that "but" side of the letter, right? "But I have this against you." Because let's face it, two services comes with some risks. I mean, logistically, there's the risk of not having enough people serving, of overworking staff and volunteers, of changing our culture, a risk of losing the unity within the community we have, a fear of Jesus saying, "I know your works, but I have this against you. You are less of a family than you were before. So why do it?" Why do we believe that God is asking us to take these risks? The simple answer, the practical answer, is to make room. We have only so many seats, long weekends aside, only so many parking spaces, only so many rooms for children's ministry, and if we don't do this, we're soon going to be in the position, in spite of just planting another church, where we turn people away. "Sorry, our church family is full. There is no room for you here." So I thought about this, and this is what the conclusion I came to and what I firmly believe. The risks we face become a reality when we physically make room in the church without personally making room in our lives. I'm going to say that again. The risks we face become a reality when we physically make room in the church without personally making room in our lives. Devin and Heather just had another baby. I remember many years ago when Kristen and I had our first child. You want to talk about making room in your life. And it's not just physical room of the nursery, right? I mean, the kid takes over the whole house, right? We had to make room in our finances. Kristen quit her job. We had to make room in our nighttime schedules, in our social schedules, in our own relational dynamics, right? We had to make room in our TV viewing. I mean, if I ever have to sit through another episode of Blue's Clues again. But we made room. And more than that, we made room emotionally to love this gift that God had given us, to love his sister when she came along a couple years later. Do you want to know why there's no Bible verses that talk about how to run two services? Why there's hardly anything about running services at all? It's because a church community is first and foremost about the people, about the relationship to God and the relationships to one another. John 13:35 says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So there's three things I want us to think about when it comes to this idea of making room. The first one is we need to make room in our schedule to invest in new relationships. Let me ask this. When was the last time you shared a meal with somebody new at your invitation? Or struck up conversations with strangers in the foyer after the service, or invited someone new into a community group? Our schedules are full. I get it. We all have work. We have existing friends, family obligations. And maybe you're happy. Maybe right now you're thinking, life is great. I don't want to give up time with the people I'm close to. But there are going to be more and more people coming in through those doors every Sunday. And who is going to be their family if not us who are already here? We need to make room in our schedules to invest in new relationships. Number two, we need to make room for those who are different. I like people who are like me. Now, I'm a little weird, so there's not a lot of them. But that's our human nature, isn't it? Right? Especially in larger groups where there's a lot of selection, we gravitate towards those people who are, let's just say, easier, right? Whether that's due to, you know, similarity in likes and to age, you know, life stage, background, you name it. But Jesus Christ transcends all these differences: race, age, gender, social status, quirks, tattoos, funky haircuts. We don't want to exist as a church community in conveniently partitioned comfort zones. We want to be so united in Christ that our love for him transcends the differences between us. Each of us has to ask the question, are we willing to step outside of our comfort zone to befriend somebody less like us? My prayer is that Summerside will be a place that says to anyone who comes in the doors and desires earnestly to be a part of God's family, welcome. We have room for you here. Not just a seat, but room in our lives and in our hearts. We need to make room for those who are different. And number three, we need to make room for others to invest in us. This is a true statement. It is easier to hide in a larger group of people than a smaller one. That's not from the Bible. It's from Where's Waldo? If every page in a Where's Waldo book looked like this, right, he wouldn't be able to hide. And I've been in churches like that. I've been in small church plants where if a stranger walked in, everyone knew it. There's Waldo. Right? Because we knew everyone. As you get bigger, that's not possible. For some here, maybe that appeals to you, to show up, have no one notice, be content with some nice music and a sermon. Maybe you've been hiding in a different way. Maybe you've been participating in events, even volunteering, but never letting anyone inside. You talk about the weather, but not your struggles. Sports, but not fears. Movies, but not dreams. If that is you, I tell you sincerely that you are missing out. As great as the worship is here, as faithful as Pastors Devin and Mark are at preaching God's word, If we will not let the family of God be family to us, and all that means, we deprive ourselves of one of the greatest blessings God wishes to work in our lives. We need to make room for others to invest in us. Now, quick side note here. I have heard so many stories about from new families about how friendly Summerside is, about how welcoming Summerside is, and praise God for all of you who devote your time and efforts to making the church this way. You are truly a blessing. But we are imperfect, and there are people who get missed. And maybe you've been coming here and you don't feel welcomed. Maybe you strive for connection but haven't found it. Maybe you feel like you're Waldo on the page waving your arms but no one notices. If that's you, I'm sorry. And I ask for your forgiveness. You can come to me, invite yourself to dinner. I mean it, right? You can come to our small group. There is room for you. Please be patient with us and forgive us and help us to grow. Be to others what you are seeking, and remember that in spite of our faults, we have a God that does not suffer from those shortcomings. I talked a little earlier about Jesus' letters to the seven churches in Revelation, where he says, I know your works, but I have this against you. Do you remember? At the end of each of those letters is a promise. It's a promise to the followers of Jesus about the glorious future that we will have with him. Because here's the truth. We make room for others because Jesus makes room for us. Jesus says in John 14:1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. We make room in our hearts for others because Jesus made room for us. There is no one, no one, regardless of who they are, regardless of their past, who places their faith in Jesus and devotes their life to him, who will be turned away. He has made room. And it is our hope, right? That is the promise that we have, and it is our example for us to follow. And I pray that we will.
Good morning. It's one of those times where you can imagine, you know, you have a job and your job is to go do a presentation for your boss because he can't make it. And you know he's way better at it, but you're going to do it because he's not there. And then you show up and begin the presentation and your boss shows up and then you get really nervous. Imagine that. But that's not today. Today is just a couple elders sharing from our heart. And so I get to share from my heart, and let me tell you a little bit about me so that the words that I speak might have a little bit more weight. I'm an elder here. I've been an elder for about a year. My wife, Sarah, and our four kids, we've been attending Summerside since before they were born, about 18 years now, and I'm a missionary kid, an MK. For those of you guys that don't know that, that's someone whose parents have chosen chosen God's leading to go serve in other parts of the world to share other people about his love for them. So I grew up an MK, was born in Japan. My parents moved to Singapore. I went to boarding school in Malaysia and the Philippines. For those of you who don't understand boarding school, basically the mission said to my parents, you're called to serve, but your kids are going to need to go to learn and to be educated somewhere else. So for, you know, those of you who have parents who have your young kids, imagine for 5 to 6 months at a time, your kids were sent to another country. Whew, So there was some excitement there. I was raised in a jungle in the mountains. Saturdays were spent catching butterflies and building forts. Pretty awesome. But also, as you can imagine, being away from your parents, there's some consequences for that as well. And so for me, one of the consequences was being out of close relationship with my parents, even going to another country. Every time you went to school for the new term, you didn't know if your friends were going to be there again, because they might have been called home on furlough or back to their home country. And so as you begin to see people move in and out of your life, you start to build up defense mechanisms so it doesn't hurt so much to lose people. And so even as a young seven-year-old, I began to not let people in too close, because it hurt a lot to leave and say goodbye to people. And so I saw, even as I came to Summerside 18 years ago, sort of saw that still happening with me. I got to this church, smaller then. We didn't have this huge building. And there was a few couples our age. There wasn't that many people that I really felt a close connection with. And so sort of got in my head that we would be here for a short time, but probably not forever. And so we'd move on. I was sort of used to in life moving on. But thankfully, God had other plans. And with our third child being born, Izzy, there was some complications after she was born. And so we spent a lot of time in hospital, visiting doctors, driving down to sick kids, that kind of stuff. And God used that challenging time to open our hearts and our minds to our family here at Summerside. People stepped up to pray for us and love us and make meals for us and really show us that we are a part of the family. And that had a huge impact on my heart. And so fast forward now, 10 years after that, and I get to serve and love this church that has greatly loved me. So it's a real blessing. And so for you guys, maybe even some of you are here at this church, maybe you're new or you've been here a while and you've never really felt that connection. Hopefully the words that I get to share will challenge you on that, because I think Mark did a wonderful job of really talking about the head and the heart of why we need to make room. Our church is growing, two services, new neighbors, so much happening, and we need to make room. And so I get to talk maybe a little bit more on if that's the heart and the head of why, the hands, the action of what we're going to do or what we can do. And so one of the biggest areas of joy for us and encouragement for Sarah and myself and our family has been being a part of a community group now for a number of years. And that community group has been just outstanding. Very messy, lots of problems, as you can imagine, living in close community with other people, but just real wonderful life-giving. I mean, a community group is about doing life together, about sharing your ups and your downs, about having people that you can text about, hey, I really could use a babysitter right now, or coffee with someone right now, or someone to get on the phone and pray with me right now. It's about taking what we learn on Sunday morning and understanding how does that fit into doing life together. Accountability, truth, transparency. I know for guys, that is often something that we don't really want people in, but actually when we get a taste of that real, genuine friendship and honesty, we want more of it. And it's very exciting, very wonderful. Dealing with life issues like marriage, like parenting, like living in southwestern Ontario in this day and age, we really get to go through it together, and not so much teaching each other what they should be doing, but living it out with one another and learning more through example than what we're told. And it's been wonderful, and it's also been a witness to others. I think people really want to look at these Christians and find areas where we're failing or things they can point at as, hey, that's not okay, and they can see that with us. But they can look beyond that to see people who love one another, and that ultimately comes through a love that Christ has for us, and then therefore the love that we can have for others. So it really is a wonderful witness. Another area is sin. We all struggle with it. I think for most of us, our goal will be to keep it hidden. But when you're doing real life together in a genuine community group, then you have a safe, loving environment to bring sin forward. And we know that once we bring sin to the light, it will lose its power. And so even being able to share with those closest to us areas that we're struggling with, men learning how to lead your family spiritually, not being selfish, fighting for purity rather than what the world wants us to delve into, fighting for our marriages. It's so empowering to be a part of a group that wants to preach the gospel at you time and time again. And I think really that's very similar to what the New Testament church look like. So I just want to read a couple passages. The first is Acts. So the beginning of Acts is the church that's starting to form after Christ has died and has returned to heaven. He's been teaching his disciples for 3 years how they should be doing life. And so this is, you know, what came of it. And so Acts 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And listen to this. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their houses and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Wonderful. Another passage, if we jump into Hebrews. In Hebrews 10, the author of Hebrews is really trying to encourage Christians to persevere in their faith, to stick strong to their faith. And so in Hebrews 10, 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so if we look at those examples, I think we can find that in Summerside, and I think one of the ways we really find it is living in community together. And so one of the ways that we did that this summer is our community group, five families. It's been wonderful, but we realize we need to stop being selfish about this closed community and open up to make more room. As Mark put it, make more room. And so this summer, thanks to the weather, we had our community group meet in the park in Dorchester, and we invited other people from Summerside that live in proximity, that we knew were looking for community with others. And so meeting in the park, out in the open, we would do it on Sunday evening. Our kids were rollerblading and throwing baseballs and all that kind of stuff around us. And we sat there, often interrupted, but focused on sharing our lives with each other. And it was just so encouraging. It was encouraging to those core group members who've been there for a few years now, but also to those people who are being invited in to see what community really looks like together. And so even this last week, last Sunday night, we hadn't met for a few weeks. So we shared really two questions I asked. One was, what was a high and a low of your summer? So people got to talk about something great that happened, but also something that they were dealing with or something that they had gone through that was really, really tough. And then the second question is, you know, what was God up to in your heart in the midst of that? And so getting to share that with one another, just so wonderfully encouraging. And I think probably my favorite highlight of that time was one of the teenagers in our midst was sitting with us that whole time. And, you know, he got to share that he recognized he wasn't reading his Bible enough. And, you know, what a challenge for us from the lips of a teenager. And then him praying afterwards was just so beautiful. So as you can see, just that opening our community group to more people had a huge blessing on me alone, let alone the other family members of our community. Yeah, our family, as we can say. And the other thing was, it wasn't our community group, instead of meeting in a house, which I know we're going to have to get back to because it's winter and community group in the park doesn't sound great in February. But for that time, it wasn't behind closed doors. It was out in the open. And so I can even picture one of the couples before we got started was pushing their kids in the swings. And there, another couple from Dorchester who doesn't know about our church, doesn't know about our community, starts up a conversation and gets to find out, you know, why we're in the park that evening. So we trust God can plant, even with those little seeds of those conversations, more. And so what does that look like for Summerside? One, I hope it really encourages you that this is a place where you're safe, where there are people who love Jesus and will point you back to Jesus and the gospel through the challenges that you face, but be there for you. And we need more. We need more community. As this church grows, we need more people willing to open their houses and their lives and their hearts to those people coming in through the doors. Because I think there's something important to be recognized. Our community group has been great, but when you're in a close group for an amount of time, it can become unhealthy. You can go through talking to the same people about the same problems again and again and preach the same gospel to them, which is wonderful. But at the same time, there's something about new life and new blood in a community group and sharing and getting to minister to new people. And so I don't know what it's going to look like for our community group in the fall. I don't think anyone does, but God does. And if our hearts are willing, if we see what was happening in Acts and we want that for our church, then I think that's the community groups is a great place to start. And you know, whether no matter what stage someone's at in their spiritual walk, of whether they're interested in who this Jesus guy was or they've been a Christian for 30 years, I think there needs to be a place where anyone can feel welcome, where there's times where you just invite people without an agenda into your homes and see what the Holy Spirit does in the mix of that. And there's something very special about if we have an outward focus, what God can do to our hearts inwardly. And if we look at Jesus' example, Mark did it so much more eloquently than me, but you know, he sat with people he shouldn't have. As a Jew, as a Jewish leader, but what he did was he opened his heart and connected with people, and the results were just astonishing. And Jesus' example is what we need to follow. And so let's do that. And so, you know, if you're interested in joining a community group, you haven't been part of one, but you're starting to catch a little bit of what it's about, please, we would love to invite you in. Connecting with one of our pastors or Liz on ramp meets now. There's information in the bulletin about joining there. If your community group doesn't sound like it has that culture, we'd love to chat with you about how to really have it that way, that you're doing life together with transparency and honesty and encouragement and focus on the gospel. And, you know, be it this afternoon. This afternoon might be an opportunity for you to put hands on and make connection with one person and then invite them in. And again, as Tyler said so well, it's not about inviting them into church. It's about inviting them into our lives and doing relationship with them. And then they're going to ask us, well, what do you do on Sunday morning? Where do you go? And I mean, that sounds like an agenda, and it should be an agenda. God calls us, whether it's Monday morning crafts or Friday night hockey or this afternoon session gathering, that he calls us to make disciples. And Jesus made disciples by living, sleeping beside in front of a fire, eating together in community. And I think that's what God calls us to. And so I'd like to end in prayer, because I'd love to pray for what God wants to do in this large community group that we've got at church, that we'll make more room for people in our lives, and that ultimately that it's not our words but our actions that preach the gospel to them. So let me pray for us. Lord God, I just thank you. You've loved us and you made room for us in your heart. Lord, we don't deserve it, but you gave of yourself to us. And so, Lord, I pray that this church, that Summerside would be a place that opens its doors, its hearts, its lives to those who are lost and looking for a Savior, and those who don't know they're looking for a Savior, Lord, as well, that we would be planters of seeds for Your kingdom, that we would reach out, and Lord, that You would do a mighty work, that You would make us so full and busting at the seams that we have to continue to grow and plant new churches because of the love You had for us. So we ask this in Your name. Amen.